today on Real Radio.
Think about that. Somehow you're going to be identified. You're identified every time you swipe your card. You're identified every time you drive through the toll road. You're identified. But are you identified in heaven? Is there a seat reserved for you in heaven above? Is there?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from an unusual passage of Scripture, the first 10 verses of chapter 12. Here's where the apostle reveals a supernatural experience that he had 14 years earlier. Now, we've all heard about people having near-death experiences, and they go on to sometimes write books and make movies. But what Paul witnessed in his case was something that he said he couldn't even talk about. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in a lesson called When Heaven Becomes Real.
Verse 5 says, such a one, I will not boast, that is so cool, I can't brag in my human skin. That's what he's saying. Imagine all the reporters gathered around Paul. CNN, Vanity Fair, The Atlantic, Fox News. Paul, tell us what you saw. And he said, in this skin? His answer is awesome. In this body, with this tongue, right now, on this side of eternity, I can't tell you. I don't have the capability. This ought to get you excited. I don't have the apparatus. And if I did have the apparatus enough to explain it to you, which I don't, if I did, you don't have the apparatus to understand it. So Paul said, I ain't going to talk about it. Can you imagine being that little amazing Jewish evangelist, church planter, born again, a Jew born anew, dynamo for God, who from Genesis eventually to the book of Revelation delighted in God, walked around this world. Remember, we saw that he covered nearly or a little over 12,000 miles in his lifetime. And he had this treasure in his heart and his head the whole time. Listen, when you have heaven as a reality in your life's living, you'll be able to put up with anything. I saw a clip recently of POWs, and they were brutally tortured. This is during the Vietnam War era, brutally tortured. Brutally tortured. And they asked these guys who survived, how did you survive? And they said, you know what, when we were being tortured, our minds went to other places. Listen, everybody. When we were being abused like that, our minds just went to other places. And they asked, well, what places? And one guy said, he was from Idaho, and he said, I went fishing on the Snake River. One guy said, this one guy was from San Diego. He said, you know where I went while I was being beaten and tortured? He said, I was walking the beach with my kids in San Diego. If this is where the human heart and psyche goes under deep persecution and hardship, then listen, isn't just a little bit of flirtatious announcement from the Word of God to you and I that when difficult times arrive, and they're arriving, the train's coming. Listen, the train's coming. And on that train, on the side, it doesn't say Conrail and it doesn't say Burlington Northern. It says financial difficulty, physical hardships, persecution, sickness, whatever. It's coming. The train's coming. What are you going to do? Your mind and your heart as a Christian is going to go to the promises of God. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Why? Because it's the eternity's treasures that await us that we fix our eyes on. If you don't have your eyes fixed on those glorious arrival points for us, then listen, life's going to be tough, my friend. And so Paul says, I can't boast about these things in my human skin. What does my human skin know about this? But I will boast regarding those things that I saw. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us, and you he made alive. He's speaking about believers who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you remember those trespasses and sins was all we could think about? Remember, that's how you and I lived. We made plans. We had them on our day timer. We called up people and said, hey, are you willing next Saturday night to trespass and sin with me? Do you remember that? Remember before you were a Christian, you called people and you you met people and you said, "Can you want to sin and commit trespasses?" That's what we were doing. But he made us alive. He changed us in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's a reference to Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But he changed us. He put eternity in our hearts. And we're going to heaven. Amen. Paul talks about here regarding his weaknesses, his infirmities in verse 5. He says, I'll boast, but in these things only, my weaknesses. Now, this is so bizarre to us in our carnal thinking. How can you boast and take strength in your infirmities? Now, you think about this. The word means weaknesses. So which one of us in this room today is not weak? Think about it. We are all weak. We are weak. The fun thing about getting old as a Christian is that the stuff that you used to like have doubts about or you believed a certain way one way, as you get older now, you know the truth now. When somebody comes up and says, "Hey, I'm not afraid of anything, Pastor." You know what you know? You just go like this. Okay, uh-huh. In your mind, you're going, "Liar, liar, bitch, on fire." You know now. It's like, this guy's full of himself. Anyway, praise the Lord. How are you doing? "I'm not afraid of anything." Yeah, okay. And listen, the glorious thing about getting older in the Lord is discovering the great benefits with weaknesses of this body is that the Lord has to show up. Listen, I'm going to let you in on a secret. You better write it down. You can't buy it anywhere. The great thing about getting older in Jesus is that weaknesses advance. They come upon you. And you say, "Well, how can that be a good thing?" Oh, listen. Because if you're going to present yourself, no matter how old you are, or it doesn't matter how old you are, how weak you may become, you could be young and you could be suffering weakness. Here's a little trick that you can't get in a pill. Present yourself to God to be used by Him. You say, "Well, how can I do that? I'm so weak. I'm getting weaker by the day." That's my point. Give Him your weakness, and He fills that area with His strength, and you get to see all of the wonderful things that God is doing through you, and you're the one who knows that it's not you, it's God doing it. Your friends may get confused and say, "Look at him, he must take geritol, or he must be all over that. In sure, he's doing fantastic." And little do they know, the moment you say amen, you get to go back to your geriatric state with your walker and go back after you've mission accomplished for Jesus. Are you with me? Are you understand what I'm talking about? It's absolutely amazing. Think about it. "Well, I'm just too old to serve the Lord." No, you're not. You're just about ready. Just about ready. Get involved. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship," our politics, by the way, that's what the word means, "is in heaven." In the present tense, mind you. "From which," in the present tense, "we also eagerly wait for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ." That means every Christian who has the Holy Spirit in them eagerly awaits for the Lord's return. If that's not a passion of your heart, you need to take yourself before the throne of God and talk to God. A believer knows that the Bible teaches Jesus could come back, or for that matter, you could choke on your lunch today and go see Him. The question is, does that excite you about the prospect of eternity awaiting you? Verse 21 of Philippians 3, "who will transform our lowly bodies." The word lowly means vile, powerless, humiliated. Isn't that interesting? The Bible suggests to us that the moment Adam and Eve sinned, in an instant, our bodies became humiliated. Wow. That is an amazing thing to think about. That it may be conformed to His glorious body. That word glorious means it's doxa in the Greek, like doxology. Magnificent, dignified, wonderful body. According to the working by which He is able to even subdue all things to Himself. Translation, Jesus is coming back. He's going to transform our bodies and make them ready for our ultimate politic. That is heaven above, where our citizenship is recorded in the present tense now. Look at you. Look at you. You're sitting here, but you're not really here.
What?
Are you an American citizen? Yes, you are, but you're a citizen of heaven. That's more important. Do you have a passport? Yep, ain't nothing compared to the passport called Jesus. Ain't nothing. I just got, I travel a lot, and I just got this thing that when I come back from some foreign country, I get to bypass customs. I don't have to stand in line. Woo-hoo! Look at you. I don't have to stand in line anymore. Technically, I don't even have, I have to have my passport. You're supposed to have it on your body, of course, in case they ask you for it. But I don't have to show it anymore. Ooh. Well, it definitely came with a big cost. All I do is I walk up to a machine. I look at it. It looks at me. And I put my hands on it. And it reads my hands. And I guess it looks at my face or something like that. And then a little light comes on, and I get to go home. I get to come back into the country. Now, here's my point. It identifies me. Okay, I had to give it my identification, though. I had to be interviewed. I had to go through a process to give myself and my kids away and all that kind of stuff to it. Listen, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, God the Father identifies you. You can show, listen, on your deathbed, you can pull out your U.S. passport, and it ain't going to help. It's not going to happen. But you can be on your deathbed, and in that moment, your passport is Jesus Christ. God the Father will recognize you because you've been stamped, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, you don't put your hands on a screen. You put your heart in His hands. Now, look, I did that stuff for the U.S. government and other governments for whoever participates in this thing. To me, that's nothing because it's of this politic. Ain't nobody going to get my heart. Can you imagine? Now, stand before this thing, put your hands on the screens, and say, I pledge to the United Global World Government Totalitarian. That ain't going to happen. Because like John Adams said in our nation's founding, we have one king, and that's Jesus, okay? And I like that. You think about that. Somehow you're going to be identified. You're identified every time you swipe your card. You're identified every time you drive through the toll road. You're identified. But are you identified in heaven? Is there a seat reserved in you for you in heaven above? Is there? According to the Bible, there is a seat in heaven, at the banqueting table that's got my name on it. Did you know that? Reserved in heaven for you, undefiled, that does not fade away. Christian, do you have that? If you're a Christian, yes. If you're pretending you're a Christian, no. If you're here today saying, I want to become a Christian, then just say yes. If eternity looks at you, does it identify Jesus in your life? Realities await us. Listen, this is fun. You see, when you're talking about heaven, talking about us being there, what are we going to be like? We don't know, except this. This is kind of fun. Are you with me? Wake up. Are you awake?
Yes.
1 John 3:1 says this. Behold, what manner, what depths of love has the Father bestowed or given to us. The word means to be open-palmed. The Father, look, what manner of love has the Father, watch me everybody, bestowed upon us? That's what that word means, open palms. That God, because it's a word that means children can come and take food and candy from your hands. Isn't that neat? God says, here, I'm coming to you open palmed. Isn't that cool? I love that. And so he's like this, open palm. Children of God, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. But we know this, that when he is revealed, that is in his coming for us, we shall be like him. What does that mean? I don't know. I can only goof around with that wording. That's, you can just imagine that. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself. What does that word mean? Stays away from filth. Frankly, just as he is pure. So what does that mean? Jesus could come back at any time. Well, what are we going to be like? In that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says we'll be changed when it happens, either by death or by rapture. What are we going to be like? I don't know. But it says we'll be like him. This is cool. Think about it. What do we know about his post-resurrection body? You could touch Jesus. You could hug him. Isn't that interesting? But he also had scars. He had holes in his hands, in his side, and in his feet. Remember that? Now, will we have scars? I hope not. Some people have said when we're resurrected or when we're changed, that all that is a type or shows picture of a sinful nature will be gone from us. In other words, if you have these handicaps, physical handicaps in life, will you be that way in eternity? No way, because all manifestations of sin will be removed. You'll have a glorified body, right? But it appears from Zechariah, for example, and the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ himself is scarred for eternity. Think of that. So what will we be like? We'll be able to hug. We'll be able to go through walls, which is cool because Jesus ate some fish tacos, no doubt, right? Remember in John 20 something or other, John 20? Jesus ate with them and then he vanished from them, vanished right through without the door being opened. And what's cool thing about it is, I get that part about him. That's amazing. But what happened to the food? Because when he walked through the wall, you didn't see like a taco and lettuce fall onto the ground. That's what keeps me up at night. You're going to be like that. And he appears and disappears places. I don't know about you, I love that. In one place, he's speaking to the guys on the road to Emmaus. And then he shows up in some other place. You say, well, I don't want to be interested in that. I'm not going to, that heaven stuff, I don't really care about. No, but you'll go to the movie and watch some fantastic movie about some invisible man and some guy popping up here and some transformer thing, and you go, ooh, that's junk. Why don't you join the real Transformers? Join our group. Our group is following Jesus. And he is not only going to transform us, he's transformed us first from the inside out. The inside's coming out. It's very exciting stuff. Third and final point is in verses 7 to 10, is difficulties become reasonable. We need to hear about this. When heaven becomes real, difficulties become reasonable. And reasonable is a good thing because God wants to use us in these things. In verse 7, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, this is tough stuff. Put your helmet on. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Translation. Lest I get a puffed up head and get conceited and arrogant about the amazing things God has shown me to keep my feet on the ground. I was given a thorn in my flesh. Number one, we know this. It's a physical attack on his body. It has an excellent purpose. It's to keep his feet on the ground. Are you with me, everybody? Listen, this is serious business. Are you a Christian today? People ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people then? Well, first of all, we should ask the question, why do good things happen to anybody? Honestly. But don't think because you're a Christian today or a non-Christian that somehow you're exempt from difficulties. No, the difference is my difficulties, God holds my hand and they're tailor-made to move me through them. And he has an eternal plan that he ain't going to share with me. He turns to me and he says, will you trust me with this? We're about ready to go through this fire. Jack, I want you to hold your breath and hold my hand. And as we get closer, you're going to go through this. You're going to feel this fire. It's going to get hot. And you're going to go through this fiery, fiery trial. But just know this, just when you think you can't take it anymore is when I'm going to bring you out on the other side. Are you with me? Now look, have you ever had some sort of medical procedure? And the doctor says, now listen, it's going to be like this. You're going to feel this, and then you're going to feel this. And you're going to think you're going to suffocate at this moment. But just when you think you're about ready to freak out, it's going to stop. Now, have you ever had something like that done? I've had that done. I have a, this is too much information for you. TMI. I have a deformed throat. My throat didn't grow. Inside my larynx vocal cords, the passageway of my throat did not grow past the age of 6. And many years ago in this church, I was told by a very amazing physician in L.A., I had to go see him because I couldn't speak anymore. You guys, I would speak on a Sunday and I'd go home, I'd have blood coming out of my throat, I couldn't talk, I just couldn't do anything until Wednesday. It was horrific, painful, terrible, and this guy, this doctor said, this is what we're going to do to you right now, and you're going to think you're going to suffocate. You have to trust me. The moment you think you're going to absolutely panic is the next time you're going to breathe air. You'll be okay. This is a human talking to me right now. I don't know about you guys. I used to work at Baxter Healthcare with doctors. I don't like doctors. If you're a doctor, I love you. But if you're a doctor, I don't like doctors. And he's asking me to trust him. And he puts this thing down my throat. And then he inflates this thing. I can't breathe. And I'm paying this guy. And he was right. The moment I thought I'm going to literally jump out. I mean, I remember sweating so bad. I wasn't crying, but the sweat was coming through out of my... I was sweating that bad with terror. And I'm trusting a man I've known for 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, God says, take my hand. This is what he says in the word. I'm going to take you through this. And I'm going to get you out on the other side. And you say, but what if I die? Well, if you die, you're very much alive when you die. What? If you die, you're that breath that you wanted to take, you're going to take it anyway. Huh? Hi, Paul. Noah. Gabriel, Michael, how are you guys? Think about it. Now look, does that kind of set you back a little bit? No, I don't know if I want to go there. You are going there. All of us will die. The statistics are overwhelming. Nobody gets out alive. The cool thing is, heaven is our destination. It's where we're going. And when that reality permeates our life, we can say with Job, naked I came, naked I go, blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean we have some death wish. It means we live every day with joy and excitement to the glory of God. We kiss our kids and grandkids more every day, and we thank God for the sky and for the bunny rabbits or whatever's going on, because you know what? He made it all and it's awesome, but it ain't nothing compared to where we're going. Nothing. Thank God. And all of that is glorious because he wants to use us. Paul said, if I'm going to be used, I got to have this thorn in my flesh, this weakness, this physical attack against my body.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called When Heaven Becomes Real. It's actually a series within a series taken from the first paragraph of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this unique New Testament letter, and we'll continue with more of When Heaven Becomes Real on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you have not visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org is a great resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything connected to Real Radio, previously aired Real Radio programs, real-life videos, real-life devotions. Of course, you hear us mention those from time to time. You can get in on our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.